And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup. All right, here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network, Pete Gray here with Corey Sandin while Rock God Rick is out there on his way. They're getting close to Guadalupe by now.
Man,
on the
can you imagine? Yeah. Such nice yellowfin,
oh,
man.
Yeah. And the yellowtail. Oh, boy. He's going to have some stories when he gets back. But, hey, we have a great guy. Your saltwater guide is here, Captain Dave Hansen. We've got, like Corey said, our hard hats on, and we're prepared. It's been relatively calm. Have you noticed,
I
Corey?
Think so, but I still have it on. I'm ready.
Yeah, yeah. you know, it's coming.
Yeah.
Watch out, Brian. Brian's got his hard hat on, too. We're ready to go. But we're giving away three incredible prizes.
It's pretty cool, really. Two lucky winners today are going to win a one-year subscription to Dave Hansen's Your Saltwater Guide and website, right?
Yes,
one-year
sir.
Subscription. And then along with those, they're going to win the Bill Varney CCA calendar. Each one's going to get their tied calendar. I love it.
It's
I live by
calendar.
That. And then the grand prize winner, Local Kind Maui Jim, super thin glass lens.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
With the Maui green lens. Love that. That lens is so perfect for the water because it's not too dark, not too light. It's my new favorite.
On
the water when I'm fishing, you can still see kelp patties with it. And it's still dark enough on a sunny day or light enough on a not-so-denny day, the Maui green.
Somebody's going to be super stoked to have those Maui gems.
You bet. All right. All the lines are full, 833-288-0973. Just keep on trying. You'll get through. Don't forget, we still had a few of those Captain Rollo tickets, too. So $250 gets you that $100 Anza fillet knife, $25 $10 raffle tickets to get one of 30 prizes. Worth $30,000, and also the once in a lifetime chance to win Rollo's reel is Penn International redone by Cal Sheets, and your choice of any 10-day or less long range trip on any boat. So the number to call 858-350-5870 extension 107. You can send an email, just leave your name and number, and they'll call you back. win@rollokids.org. You can email them or just check out rollokids.org for that information and call them up, send it, and grab one of those last packages. Once they're gone, that's it.
And you've got a 1 in 100 chance. There's only 100 of those packages sold to win your chance of winning one of Rollo's reels.
History.
Like, are you kidding me? From Brian Kiyohara's hand to yours. To Cal's. Two-speed blueprinting
exactly.
To your hand.
Yeah. So this is a great opportunity. And, again, I want to throw out a huge thank you to our listening audience out there for the big success we did on our Rollo Show. Yeah, it was our Rollo Telethon, our annual telethon there to push this thing. Oh, close to 80 packages sold yesterday.
That's beautiful.
So thanks to all our listeners that contributed to Rollo. And, of course, the benefit, the kids. Taking kids fishing
absolutely.
Is what it's all about. That's
and,
why we do it.
You know, yesterday we had those soft tackle bags that were given by a listener. And there was also Dan, a longtime listener of the show, he had a brand new cooler, one of those, really expensive,
super cooler,
nice ones. And he had a huge one that he gave to Mike Lum.
Yeah,
and
that's cool.
Right? I mean, it's just those things. You know, if you have something that you think would benefit and just... Just give Mike Lum a call.
Yeah, and if you want to set up a trip with Rollo, just go to the website, rollokids.org, and select the trips. And
cool stuff.
And take your group of kids fishing.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen, and jump into the phones.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Joe. Joe's calling from Oceanside this morning. Welcome to the show this morning, Joe. We appreciate you joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good morning, Joe.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. About the swordfish, a deep drop and harpoon. Is there going to be a difference as far as quality versus the two, deep drop and harpoon? And being that, it takes a lot to run those boats when harpooning, do you think the harpoon guys will switch over to deep drop?
Well, the big thing is that deep drop buoy gear stuff that they're doing today, that is going to be the future of their industry. As far as the harpooning stuff goes, that really hasn't been much of a commercial entity for the last 15 or 20 years since fuel went up so high. When it was up to $5 a gallon, or it's like $4 a gallon now or whatever, it really isn't financially feasible for those guys to make a living throwing a harpoon in the back of a swordfish and flying the airplane and doing all the things it takes for them to be successful to actually make money. And then this deep drop buoy gear thing is a fishery that there 90% of the guys, maybe more, that do have their commercial harpoon boats, they are all into this buoy gear thing too. They're all doing the switch over. They're all
because going they're
over.
Getting them.
Yeah, they're getting them. The quality of the fish, it's going to be
better.
It's going to probably
clean
be almost
fishery.
Yeah,
no
so
bycatch
the harpoon.
Basically.
The harpoon's super
yeah.
clean. You can't
yeah.
get any cleaner than that. But yeah. you're not catching anything. You might get a big eyed thresher shark once in a great while on the deep drop buoy gear. But as far as the quality of meat, neither one of those fish are going to have. There's not going to be any difference. You're not going to be able to tell the difference when you bite into it, the
it's,
quality
it's
of the meat.
It's incredible, man.
It's going to be phenomenal either way. The fish aren't getting burnt out. When they're fighting them, the deep drop, if you do it the correct way, the fish actually swims to the surface because the weight is dragging down towards the bottom. So he's swimming against
wait,
the...
Wait, wait, wait. You just brought something up
I'm
that
sorry.
May have gone over somebody's head, right?
Okay.
Because you're using, what, an 8 or 10 or 12-pound weight?
Right.
Okay, so a
and
lot
a
of guys...
100-foot-long leader.
But a lot of guys think that they want to have that disconnect when they get bit. Explain that whole...
Okay, so this is a weird deal, and we're made a whole series of videos. We're editing them all, and everything that changes every single day, you know, 5 years ago, I didn't know how to spell kite. Now I do kite seminars. So... You know, you just have to roll with the changes because Southern California is such a weird entity and things change so rapidly and quickly here. And this swordfish thing is new for us on the West Coast, but I worked with RJ Boyle on the East Coast. He's kind of the guy that showed me how to build this website for you guys so that you can be more successful on the water. And you can't go, oh, well, Dave just wants to make money. Really, at $4.99? No, I want you to be successful. We're out there trying to catch that last fish. I need all of you to help me. We're trying to get them. And every time I go out, they restock. I know I'm going to go back on
yeah,
point. I'm going back.
Dude,
I'm coming back.
You got me all
so,
fired up.
So
yeah.
when you're deep dropping, you have a 100-foot-long leader with your squid on it. And normally, on the end of that leader, you're going to put your weight. And when you drop the line down, you're going to keep the boat in gear at like a half a knot or a quarter, just barely in and out of gear, just so that the leader is getting drugged behind the boat as the weight goes down. Because if you just straight drop it, that leader will wrap around your line. But if you keep it in and out of gear with your 8-pound or your 5-pound or your 10-pound weight, depending on what...
And dropping it slowly,
slow,
too.
Because you don't want the line to wrap up around the rod. So then, when you get the bite, the fish doesn't feel you pulling on him on the surface. All he feels is that weight pulling him down towards the bottom. So
and just like that pressure from the rod tip, when you pull on a fish, what do?
They pull the opposite way. So the first thing that we always were taught when we're doing this thing is never put any pressure on the fish. The last bit of pressure that gets put on the fish is that last 100 feet when you unclip your weight from the line, and then you have 100 feet. But the fish is so...
And that's where you can lose them, right there.
Yeah, but he's so disoriented... He doesn't really know what's happened. He still doesn't even know that he's hooked. He's just swimming against that weight, and he's still swimming to the surface. And if you do it correctly, when you unhook the weight, he's still swimming to the surface. He doesn't know. You back down, and you don't even give him a chance to fight, and you just gaff him.
It sounds simple, but it's not easy.
No, it's
yeah.
a mess.
Yeah.
It's a giant mess. That last 100 feet is a mess, but it's pretty exciting, and it's a different fishery. And you kind of got to watch some videos. You'll see them on my website here shortly, but... You can also go to RJ Boyle's website. He's got the same exact way that we do it here. He does it on the East Coast, and his series of videos will explain it to you real simple until I get mine up. And
rigging the squids, a little bit different rigging,
yeah,
too.
My old deckhand, Mike Maddox, that worked with me for a few years on the Wild and Sac, he worked with Nate and Toss over there on the Bear Flag, and he has the baits. He's selling them to all the local tackle stores. It's
pre-rigged?
pre-rigged. He sews them up for you and everything, and 90% of that fish getting caught from Oceanside up the coast is getting caught on Mike's baits. It's nice. Pretty bad. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, Joe, hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that.
Let's jump into it. Let's talk to Kevin. Kevin calling from Escondido. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Kevin.
Good morning, guys. I'm a spear fisherman and just wanted to know what your thoughts were on the kelp beds coming back. Any insight into that, or with the changing pattern between the, you know, hopefully the El Nino is gone for a while and the kelp can recover?
Yeah, exactly. You summed it up right there. Corey and I and Pete, we've been on this planet long enough. We've seen the kelp as thick as it could be where you couldn't drive a boat through it, and we've seen it like it is now where there's none. It comes and it goes, it comes and it goes.
But it depends on where you are. San Diego, we've got some good kelp,
right? It's coming
right?
back. Yeah. It's coming back, but it's not where it was.
Yeah, but it's pretty good. I mean, Point Loma. La Jolla and Point Loma both are, I would say, 70% lush.
Yeah. And it's because of the temperature of the water.
Yes.
And it's
now,
cycle.
What about up
cyclical.
Dana Point and such like that? Is
it
coming back up
we
there?
We got some spots where it's come back, and we got some spots where it hasn't come back yet. And we're wondering, like Salt Creek, that's an area that had a very lush, thick kelp bed, and you don't see... You see some stringers and stuff, but
I was stoked to see a Cedrus this year. That there's a lot of kelp that's come back in the Chester's Rocks area, and a lot on Cedrus between the two points on the on the backside, and it's thick, man. There's some thick kelp there. For
sure. Yeah, talking about that, I was talking to Todd Manser a couple of mornings ago. We were having breakfast with my dad, and he was saying, first time in, I don't know, he's been running boats up and down the Baja for a long, long time, and they were fishing kelps on the ridge, on the lower end of the ridge, kelp patties.
Yes.
Because there was so much kelp at Cedros and Bonitas that kelp ended up drifting down there.
We fished Bonitas, and I could tell you we saw like 20 strands of kelp. I mean,
it all broke off and went down to the ridge. But they were fishing wahoo on kelp patties down on the ridge, which is unheard of.
Wow. So I saw a disturbing news program a couple weeks ago about the purple sea urchin in Northern California. And the devastation it's doing to kelp beds up there.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a lot of dive groups that are collecting these sea urchins. And the wisdom of the Department of Fish and Wildlife, they're holding them to the limits, the daily limits of these. Here is basically a whole habitat being destroyed.
By these sea urchins.
By the sea urchins, and yet... Fish and Wildlife won't allow them to do like a special regulation to try and get rid of these guys. Are trying to do some good and
there's plenty of guys that want to commercial fish them.
Heck yeah,
to eat the roe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and
it's the purple sea urchin.
Feed the planet.
Yeah,
you
for sure.
Feed the planet.
And so, but yet it's destroyed because of the lack of
predators. They eat the holdfast.
They eat the holdfast, and they're destroying
their
these
lunch.
Things. So you know, it's kind of sad that
kind of crazy.
You know, that
but
the
I believe
Fish and Wildlife would do something about it.
Back to your original question, I believe that kelp will come back if everybody just takes a break and waits. Everything comes and goes. This whole thing cycles. Yeah. It's all cyclical. And if you wait, I mean, remember they told us that all the bluefin were extinct.
You know,
and
what I remember in the 70s and 80s, all the sardine were gone.
Weird.
Came back. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Now, but what about the front side of Catalina, back side of Catalina? How's the kelp there?
There's lots of kelp. There's lots of kelp coming back on the back side of Catalina. You know, the front side, those spots that we had big kelp beds on, that hasn't recovered as quickly because that water's temperature stayed pretty warm. It doesn't, once it gets above 69, it kills it. It likes that.
Well, it just deteriorates the health, and then you get a hurricane swell.
And it rips the holdfast.
Yeah, it's done.
And then the other problem, too, that we faced is urban runoff has an effect. I mean, there's no question about urban runoff, and the more people that live here, and evidence of that is Tijuana River and the Coronado Islands. Remember when we were kids how thick and lush the kelp beds were at the Coronado Islands?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
there's a
that's
lot of,
another factor there.
Everything's a factor.
There's a lot of stuff coming down that river.
Hey, Kevin, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right, let's talk to Brian. Brian, call from Claremont. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Brian.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question about the lobster size. Now, those big ones, like my brother got last year, he got one that was 8 pounds.
Ooh.
Those are typically the ones you want to throw back.
Negative.
Right? Am I right?
No.
Well, you're talking to Dave, who kills everything.
No.
Are you kidding?
No.
Brian,
no.
I mean, I would, no, I think, because
no,
I don't think they eat that
no
one.
No. No.
Yeah,
let me,
I think those
no
things are tough.
Let me help you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kill them all, right?
No.
That's Dave. Yeah.
You know how many we're allowed to have by law?
How many?
7.
Okay.
That's it. You know how many the commercial guy can have tomorrow?
How many?
As many as he can catch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So,
but that 7-pounder is not going to get into the trap, though.
I'll tell you what. Kelly, my wife, has the largest lobster ever caught in California, 18 3/4 pounds.
That's a big one.
Oh, that's a big one.
And you can see it on our website. And she gave it to the aquarium at Long Beach, which I thought was ludicrous because they said it was 70 years old. Nothing should ever be that old. And no, I'm just kidding. No, but you know why the big ones don't eat good? Because you overcook them. If you quarter them, cut them up into pieces and cook them, then they'll cook
or
way better.
Better yet, what I do with a big one like you're talking about, 7-8 pounds.
You kill it?
I did let a lot of them go. But
okay.
Just because they're, you know, I think of what that
it's
thing
like Grandpa.
Well, I think about what it's harvested in San Diego Bay
over
70 years.
Yeah,
over
70 years, what's in that meat, right?
Right? So what I do is I pull the tail meat out and strip it out and
okay
and saute it in strips. And,
all right.
You know, so it cooks quicker.
So, right. Brian, the answer there is it's a personal decision.
Right.
Yeah. Captain Dave's going to kill everything.
Right. Well,
I'm not going to kill that 8-pound lobster because, number one, I feel like Corey feels. There's a lot of stuff that those yeah things have been eating over the last 50 years, and I don't want any
and
of it.
And they're total bottom feeders, right?
Yes. So. Yeah. So that's and they think about the number, especially if it's a female. Think about the number of eggs that big
typically
8-pound lobster
typically, from
will
what
produce
I can remember, the majority of the 7-8-pounders were males. From
oh,
what
really?
I can remember, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah. Most of the big ones we catch
are males.
Are males.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like big
you
bucks.
Know? Yeah, they're just out there cruising around.
Yeah, I think the largest female I ever caught was in the 6.5, 6.75.
Really?
That's a monster.
It's a good one.
That's a huge lobster.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Brian, thanks a lot. Good question, though. Thanks a lot for the phone call.
Yeah,
wrong guy to ask.
Yeah, wrong. Yeah. Hey, Captain Dave, you know, no matter what it is, if it swims.
If it's legal. If it's legal.
Yeah.
Yes,
let's
absolutely
be honest, if it's
yeah
legal.
A lot of fun in studio. Cliff wants to join us. Cliff from El Cajon. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup, Cliff.
Boy, guys, it's just wonderful to listen to all these three voices, and I'm picking up so many tips. So thank you all. Hey, Dave,
thank you.
I am really my kid and my son, who works for Freedom Boat Club, is just an avid fishing fiend for his whole life.
Okay.
So this is what I'm going to get him for Christmas, is your saltwaterguide.com.
Nice.
So tell me, I'm on your site right now, by the way.
Okay.
What are some things that are coming that are not there now?
Well, we add a new video every week. I have 5 set up to there's so much stuff on the website already. What's really cool for people that we haven't even touched on is the legends. There's a whole series of interviews on the legends of the industry, guys that have been in the business for 60, 70, 80 years. My father's on there. A bunch of the old-timers that are on there. Frank Lopresti's going to be on. He promised me he'd do
Gary
an interview
Black
with
on there
me. Gary Black's on
yeah
there. A lot of names you don't know, but if you listen to their stories, they've touched most of us in our lifetime, which we didn't even know they did. And then I'm adding new spots all the time. I put the horseshoe up about right before summer, you know, and I'm always putting new spot videos up. I'm constantly changing. We're going to be doing the swordfish thing. We're going to be showing you guys how to do that whole thing, that whole series.
Bluefin
but right
tuna
now, there's 180 videos, and if he already knows how to do those 180 things, then he should be a multi-billionaire because this is all stuff that you got to – it's – lifetime of learning this stuff.
Stuff has
and
to be shared. You
and
know?
You,
yeah.
What about
nobody
calico bass? I like fishing hot spots.
I show you all the spots. And there's another really cool part of this
all
whole thing.
All the spots?
No, not all the spots because I haven't had that much time. Eventually, though, I'll give them all the all the ones I stole from Pete Grossbeck and everybody else. Yeah,
yeah.
Hi, Pete. but if you go there and you look, when I add a new video, everybody gets an email on the new video, every
mm-hmm
member of the
yep
website. Plus, if you go over to YouTube, I have a YouTube site also that I add a new video on there.
Is it
every
Your Saltwater
Tuesday,
Guide on
Your
YouTube?
Your Saltwater Guide. It has 60-plus videos, but they're all entertainment. It's not so much how-to, but it's all how much fun you can have doing it. And it's all, you get real, you get my real sarcasm. You get as thick as it could be. We're out there catching fish every day, and I'm videoing it all, and I'm editing, and I'm showing you guys. There's just so much. If your boy got involved, it would make him a better fisherman. It would show him the difference of what's going on. The next 4 weeks, I believe there's next week drops a video on how to make sure that you follow your line when you're hooked up. It's the thing that everybody forgets. When that bait hits the water, the line's moving left, right, forward, backwards. It's all about keeping up with where your line's going. You hear it on the sport boats every day. Follow your line. Move to your left. Move to your right. Wind in your face. And then I explain why that matters. Then the next week, I think the video that's going to drop is about how it's time to get your gear ready, because we're going into the winter, but winter, this thing's going to start up again in March. We're going to start rock fishing again. There's going to be tons of coverage. If you don't get your reels in and get them serviced, by the time you guys decide to go get them serviced, every tackle store in Southern California is going to be inundated with all these reels,
yeah,
because this was the most unbelievable season we ever,
yeah,
had, and it's been going on full speed since March. And then the next one, I believe the one that's going to drop the day before Christmas, is all about your line. Line is super important. Change your line, and I go into the whole series. But these are the videos that you get on my website. Everything is about making sure that you're going to be better at fishing in Southern California. And,
yeah,
it's a new video every week. Everybody goes, oh, my friend's sister's brother. Nobody's ever done this for anybody ever. I've been in the sport fishing industry my whole life. My dad's been in it since 1947. I'm giving you guys golden nuggets for $4.99 a month.
That's pretty
great present. And that's good. He talked about a present. We're going to be starting, I believe, tomorrow morning. My webmaster and I, we worked out a deal. We're going to give you guys a coupon. When you go to the website, all the members, you'll be able to buy a coupon that you'll be able to email to your friends so that you can give away the gift of a year. And
how much is a year?
$55.
$55.
$55. So you save $5 by buying the year. Your credit card doesn't get dinged every month like everybody's does for $4.99, but you'll buy a year for $55, and you can give them away as gifts, which is a pretty cool gift to
and
give.
And these
to
videos
people.
Are great, you know.
They're clean, quick. They're the longest one, I think, is 8 minutes. They're fast. You're not going to get bored.
And with that subscription, you could go back into the archives and look at how many.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I want to learn how to do this. I mean, like, you look it up, there's a lot of stuff in
there. There's 186 available right now. 186 4 to 6 minute videos. And then I add a new one every week. So
that's pretty cool.
And a new spot video all the time. I mean, people go,
YourSaltwaterGuide.com.
There's not enough spots on there. Just hang on. This is not a race.
Yeah.
It's not a race.
Dave's got a lot to share.
I keep adding stuff all the time. My dad asked me a couple weeks ago, what are you going to do when you got to run out of stuff to talk about? I go, Dad, you've known me for 58 years. Have I ever run out of stuff to talk about?
That's why our hard hats are on, man.
That's it. Hey, Cliff, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that very much.
Yeah, let's talk to Jeff. Jeff calling from Pacific Beach this morning. Jeff, welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So thanks for setting up that Rollo. I took advantage of the deal yesterday, and I'm looking forward to getting that great Anza knife. But question for Dave, and again, I think it's just so important to get kids into fishing for the future. But question for Dave, I've heard you talk about the importance of chumming and getting set up on spots. How would you chum if you were setting up on the surface or setting up on the bottom?
All right, so number one thing is you got to drop your anchor if you're chumming, especially if you're chumming. Because if you're fishing spots along the coast and you're just drifting, then you're chumming for somebody else. I don't know who you're chumming for because you drifted by the spot. So what we do on 90% of my saltwater guide service, I've been going out with you guys on your boats for a long, long time. Last year, I was running a 65 hat, but then I opened up the guide service in October this year, and I went on 19 different boats in the month of October. And you guys know who you are. I was out with a bunch of you guys. Here's what I do on the private boats when we go with you guys, because you don't have a big bait capacity. So what we're going to do is we're going to buy a chum bucket at one of the local fuel docks or one of the tackle stores. We'll tie that chum bucket. If there's a lot of current, we'll tie it up to the bow. If there's just a trickle of current, we'll tie it up to the stern. I really don't like it on the stern, though, because of the chance that you're going to get tangled up with it when you hook a yellow or a sea bass. with that chum bucket hanging over the side. So I like to tie it up on the bow where the anchor's hanging over the side, and that way that chum is trickling down the sides of the boat and it's actually chumming for the boat. And then once in a great while I'll throw a live bait over, but I always pinch the head of the sardine so one of his eyes pop out, and then I throw him as far up the side of the boat as I can physically. So when he hits the water and he starts swimming around in a circle, the current's dragging him down, and he ends up right back to the back of the boat where our lines are, so that he's chumming for our lines when our lines are in the water. So hopefully that makes sense to you. And then if I'm fishing sand bass or on a structure on a rock, I will hook the chum bucket to the anchor and let it go down to the bottom with the anchor, and then it's chumming that rock, and it changes a lot of stuff. So hopefully that answered your question.
There's a whole art to it.
Yeah, it's all available on my video series.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Let's find out what's cooking with our buddy Yanni from Fisherman'sBelly.com. Good morning, Yanni.
God, good morning, gentlemen. What a great show. Good morning to all the fishermen out there. And let me tell you something. After you guys pick up some tips and tricks from Dave this morning and you catch some fish this fall or this coming winter, I've got a super, super easy braised fish recipe that will knock your socks off.
Wow.
I use some Wahoo fillets. But you know what's really interesting is after I talked to a bunch of my friends, a lot of people really don't understand the beauty and the technique of braising fish. So my video will show you how braising fish will actually guarantee that you never overcook your fish, which is the number one sin when it comes to cooking fish. So check out my new video.
Yeah, okay, that's at fishermansbelly.com. We'll have it up on our Let's Talk Hookup website, letstalkhookup.com, on the Angler's Table section there with a bunch of Yanni's recipes. But fishermansbelly.com, you want to cook anything, Yanni's got it at fishermansbelly.com.
Yanni, you've made me a better cook by far.
Yes, indeed. We sure appreciate all you do.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks a lot for that great board. Braising video.
I love it. I'm into it.
Huh?
In fact, I'm into Dave Hansen. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. It's Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's the Let's Talk Hookup at the network.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Happy holidays from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Be sure to get that saltwater angler on your list what they really want, a gift from Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Penn. We have the best Penn has to offer, including International VISX, Fathom 2-Speed, Torque 2-Speed, Fathom Star Drag, and so much more. Bottom line, we have the most complete selection of Penn saltwater tackle and the knowledge to help you pick out the perfect gift. Check out our huge selection at saltwatertackle.com or come by and see us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Okay, we're here at beautiful Whalers Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska, with Mark Powers, owner and operator of the lodge, and Chris Martino, who's running the new kayak program here at Whalers Cove Lodge. Mark, tell us about this new kayak program.
Kayaking in Alaska was just a natural progression for us to move to. We've got the conventional saltwater charter fleet. We've got amazing freshwater systems and eco tours. Kayak fishing has been something we've been watching for years. We've aligned with Hobie together a pretty amazing fleet.
Well, we've got tons of options. We've got a couple locations around the inshore area where we have kayaks staged. We've also got inflatables up in some of our freshwater systems. So we've got an opportunity to fish the lingcod, the halibut, all the five Pacific salmon species, you know, Dolly Varden and cutthroat trout.
There's a dedicated page just for the kayak program on the website, whalerscovelodge.com.
I've experienced that freshwater fishing here as well as the saltwater fishing, and I can imagine fishing from a kayak has got to be just incredible.
When you put on a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the world begins to look different. Colors are more vivid. Contrast is clearer. Details are crisper. Wherever your vision leads you, beauty follows. With polarized lenses that eliminate glare and enhance color, Maui Jim sunglasses won't change the world. They'll change the way you see it. Color, clarity, detail. Maui Jim.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup and a fun time in studio today.
Indeed. All right, let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phone lines, Corey.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Dallas. Dallas calling from Lakeside. Good morning, Dallas, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
First-time caller.
I am a first-time caller, which is funny to me.
All right.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear, Dallas.
Okay, perfect. So I was just wondering, you guys mentioned a couple times Dave White Kelly's lobster was about 80 years old, and then about a Dave Town lobster was about 50 years old, and I'm just wondering how you figured that. Like, what's the calculation?
How do you determine the age of a lobster?
What we were told, Dallas, by the aquarium in Long Beach is where she gave the lobster to, so we were very interested in how they came up. The antenna, they hit it with a high microscope, whatever you would say, and they count the rings on the antenna
like the rings on a tree.
Because every time that animal molts, it shows, and so there's rings on the antenna from the molting.
Really?
And so that's how they determine how old it is by the rings on the antenna, is what I was told. Now, it could totally be not that, but that's what we were told by the guy at the aquarium in Long Beach.
And another interesting stat, Dallas, is that legal lobster, they say just barely legal lobster is at the seven-year mark. Which is, you know, you add that up. I mean, that's a lot of years.
Yeah, to make it out there when everything's trying to eat you.
Right? Exactly.
That's crazy.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That's
all
a
right.
great question, Dallas. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mrs. Maxa. Appreciate the call this morning.
Yeah. Good times.
That was Rick's wife.
Right? Exactly.
I recognize that voice.
Yeah. You got to like it.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Mike. Mike called from Rosemead this morning. Mike, we welcome you. Let's Talk Hookup. Thank
good morning,
you for
Mike.
Joining us.
Good morning, guys. Dave, I was. Going to say that I like your attitude and how you approach things. You're direct. You don't sugarcoat anything, and you tell it like it is. And that's the way I'm the same way.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm out in the public eye every single day. I do 50 seminars a year. I'm super approachable, so I better not make up a bunch of baloney because then I'm going to get hung out to dry when I'm out in front of people, you know. You can't really sugarcoat it if you're going to stand in front of them every day, and I do a like I said, 50-plus seminars a year, so I'm out there with you guys, and I understand what you're all looking for because I fish with you on your boats every single day, so thank you very much for that.
Kind of going to be my question, which you kind of already answered. When you get on a boat and you just see it and says, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going to get on this boat. They're completely clueless, but I know you just take control and say, listen, guys, this is how it's going to be done, and that's how you do it. Is that how you go about it, or what's your situation on
a... Well, that's a good question, and that's why I'm not trying to take anything away from all the other people out there. My business is pretty big, and I cannot get anybody to help me. I can't get any of these captains to come out and do what I do. Nobody wants to go with you guys on your boat for the day with people they've never met, on a boat they've never been on, with electronics they've never touched, with fishing poles they've never touched. I do it every single day. I've done it my whole life. So it takes a super special person with a super amount of patience. And I know, Kelly, I don't bring my patience home with me, but I do it at work every day. Well, when you get there in the morning, you have to assess the situation immediately because you're stepping on a boat you've never been on in your life. You got to look around and see where all the life-saving equipment is and if the boat's going to float. And I remember in the infantile days of this guide service, there were times where I would call Kelly and go, I made the insurance policy. It's in your name, so understand if I don't make it back because this boat, I don't know, but I need the money right now. And I went out with people on boats I should have never gone on, and we've
that got towed home. You felt were just not safe?
Right. And nowadays... we kind of talk before I get there. I kind of give you an idea of what I expect from you. And plus, on my website, there's a whole thing on what I expect to happen when I come with you on your boat. You have to have this. You have to have that. It's a must nowadays at the level that I'm at. But every single boat, every single day is this totally different entity, and you have to take control of it. And I tell the guys, as soon as you crack that beer and start sipping out of that can, I have to be the driver. That's just the way it is. I haven't had a drink in 35 years. I'm not going out there to be part of an experiment to see if you can bring us back safe after you're drinking. Once I'm on your boat, I'm the captain, unless you just want to learn how to be a captain and you keep your drugs and your alcohol and your tackle box till we get back home, because the day we go out is a day to learn, and I don't want to bring 15 of your best buddies out either. It's going to be me, you, maybe your child, but we're not bringing 5 or 6 people fishing for the day. That's not what it's about. I'm not there to be your deck, and I'm there to teach you how to catch fish on your boat.
There yeah,
you
I go. Mean, just very cleanly put.
Yeah, very good. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Good question there. Okay, I have a question. Let's talk about boat safety. You're talking
Absolutely.
About getting on boats, and you're going home, man, I hope I make it home. And
right.
taking care of your boat, is, I mean, we can do a whole show, 10 shows on how to properly maintain your boat, and that's so important. But one thing that I've been struggling with on field research with 36 Pacifica is whether to put an emergency life raft on it or not. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, if you're going to spend a lot of time offshore, mm-hmm. like you're going to be going now with the new motors and stuff, you're going to be going to Clemente, and that's
right.
a 60-mile ride,
right.
and there's not a lot of stuff between San Diego and
right.
Clemente. San Pedro, L.A. Harbor, you got to go by Catalina to get there, but from here, you're open water the whole time, so
yeah.
it's definitely a good idea, and if you have the, if it's not going to put you out to where you can't eat, if you can financially buy a life raft and put it on your roof
An
or put it on the bow. Yeah, the emergency 4-person or 8-person life raft.
Yeah.
You should have one.
Should have
for sure.
One.
And you should have a ditch bag. You should have a bag that has a
I do have a ditch bag.
Yeah. Yep. So you want to have a bag that has a little bit of water in it, a little bit of granola bars or whatever.
VHF radio.
And a radio that's waterproof.
Life.
That's always charged. It's not the radio that you use on the boat. It's a ditch bag radio that's got a battery that's charged on the radio. And
possibly a personal EPIRB, too.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, because you want to be saved. So
yeah. Yeah.
somebody,
Important
when you're getting
stuff.
Off the boat, grab the EPIRB and put it in the... You
yeah.
don't need two, but you need one, and you want to have one on your boat because that's how they're going to find you.
And going back to the Boy Scout days, I mean, having a little mirror and just something to reflect and just simple little
Being
things
prepared,
would save you.
Because yeah. things can change so fast.
Your ditch bag is important. Thank
yeah.
you. That gives me a whole other...
Another video.
Video to make.
Yeah.
Thank
there you
very
go.
Much.
You know, and I reflect on... A friend of mine who they were running to Clemente and they hit something or something happened on their boat. It was like a 34-footer or something like that. And the boat was gone in a matter, he said, in less than 3 minutes. It was sunk, gone.
Crazy.
And there they are floating around in the ocean and with their life preservers. They were fortunate enough to have time to get their life preservers on. They didn't have an emergency life raft. And they were very fortunate to have... an EPIRB, turned the EPIRB on, and the Navy picked them up.
Oh, perfect.
And saved them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have died.
They would have died.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's
sure.
pretty crazy.
If they didn't have an EPIRB.
It could be a log. It could be a huge turtle. It could
Doesn't,
be
yeah.
It could be
it
a
could
whale.
Be, it could be something on the boat vibrated loose and caused something to,
yeah.
to leak. You know,
yep.
you just don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah, things happen. Let's go ahead and jump back. Oh,
well,
yeah, indeed. Well, yeah, we need to find out what's your fishdope.com report.
Absolutely.
Your saltwater guy,
don't,
Dave
don't
Hansen.
Don't leave me hanging
give
there.
Yeah,
I
give
got
us
this.
The fishdope.com report.
All right, gang. So, hey, good morning. Thanks for letting me be on the show.
Of course.
Just pretend like we're calling in
yeah,
here.
Yeah, hey.
So, hey.
As calm as you are, we still have our hard hats on.
Absolutely. All right, so here we go. So up and down the coast, we're in that transition period. The water's starting to get a little bit colder. Things are starting to change. And like Brian Woolley was talking about, a lot of the boats are focused on that rockfish thing or halibut right now, mostly fishing on the bottom, although there are some calico bass to catch in the edges of the kelp with the smaller sardines or the plastic lures or the MC swim bait, stuff like that. But look at what the Tribute did yesterday. They went out and caught yellowtail on the kelp patties and a handful of skipjack. So, you know, that offshore thing isn't over. It's just there hasn't been a lot of coverage because of this weather. I listened to Mark Wish talk yesterday. There's a bunch of squid at Clemente. There's squid at Catalina. If someone gets an inkling and goes over there and gets some squid, I bet you there's going to be a sea because the water's still warm. It's still 62, 63 degrees over there at Catalina. There's going to be some sea bass to be caught on the backside of the island if you put in the time. Plus those home guard yellows are roaming up and down that backside of Catalina. Also over at Clemente on the dunes area on the backside of the island, there's a lot of squid in that zone there, and there's probably some sea bass on a couple of those squid nests on the backside of Clemente. So what I would suggest, like I do every week, is pick your spots in between this weather We got about 3 weeks left before they close the rock cod season. So get out there, get some rock cod. And while you're looking for rock cod, you'll probably stumble into some tuna or some bluefin or some yellowfin or maybe a yellowtail. But it's time on water. You got to get out there and you got to go fishing.
And there's one cool thing about the rockfish closure is when that's closed, you can jump on the San Diego or the Liberty or the new Seaport.
One of the San Diego
and go
boats.
Fish
yeah.
in Mexico, right?
There it is.
Go
right
fish
over
down
the line.
In Mexico.
Yeah, indeed. Fishdope.com, of course, Danny and the boys. What a phenomenal job. Let's talk about them for a second. All the research and time that those guys put on, Dave.
Oh, my gosh. Danny spends so much time just listening to the radio and making sure that he is right on whatever's happening. And then he hears one of us talking, and then the next thing he does is dial our phone number or our sat phone, and then he finds out exactly where it happens at. And then it's up on the website by that afternoon or that evening before he goes to bed. He's constantly gathering information. And this has been one heck of a year for him.
Yeah.
And think of all this stuff that he's had to keep track of this year.
Yeah.
He's done a phenomenal job. Him and Jeff.
Yep.
Done a phenomenal job keeping track of everything that's going on out on the water. You can flip on to Fish Dope and go click, and there's all the information you need to
right
know
there.
What's going on and why you shouldn't be at work today.
Yeah, and indeed, another great Christmas gift is a FishDope.com membership. $20 off a new membership to FishDope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW. Buy it for your fishing friend. They'll love you for a year.
Absolutely. And the report today is sponsored by Blue Guard Innovations. And this kind of goes back to safety and that kind of thing. They make smart bilge pumps and switches that are designed to protect you, your vessel, and the environment. If your vessel lives in the water and you've not installed the BG1 oil and fuel detector, you could be risking thousands in fines. The BG1 will detect oil in your bilge before you dump it in the water. Just one of the several switches and sensors made by Blue Guard Innovations. Check bluebgi.com or get their affordable products at San Diego Marine Exchange.
Yeah, indeed. And they've gone so far much further than just doing the oil and fuel detector, too, which is very, very important. I mean, you don't know what's going on in your boat. Something could happen, and you're dumping fuel in the water, thousands of fines. But also, I have an app on my phone now where I can bring it up, and I can see, or it brings alerts to, I can see if somebody opened my door. I can see if my boat moved. I can see if my bilge pump went off, and several other deals there.
And that's a big deal because, like Dave's talking about safety, and that's why I bring it up, is that maybe your bilge pump cycled 10 times overnight.
Yeah.
Okay, and you would have no idea if you didn't have this.
Yes.
And you jump on your boat and you go out fishing. You're 20 miles offshore.
Yeah.
It could have been a loose fitting. It could have been something
happened
that's filling your bilge, you know, your engine room a little bit faster than it should be.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Well, hey, the phones are packed. They want to jump into it, so they want to talk to Dave.
Very patient callers. Let's talk to Sam. Sam calling from Irvine. Thanks for joining us this morning, Sam.
Good morning. Great show. By the way, I knew a guy that spun a prop heading out to the Coronado. He drifted for 3 days with his three buddies. They were crying when they got picked up, so you should always have your safety here, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely.
But,
a personal leaper, you know, turned over in that situation would have had you rescued in probably a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So anyway, my question was for Dave. You know, I hadn't fished that halibut derby for a couple years, and I talked to a friend recently that said he went out and he was dragging like a, not a lead head, but a head with a skirt on it in like a pink and glow, and said he caught 5 halibut. You know, would you just fish the bait, or would you give that a shot as well?
Well, a lot of the guys are using those Hoochie-type thing rigs down there on the bottom. Anything to attract the fish. When I have a whole series on my website on, I know it's hard to believe, but on fishing halibut,
sure.
And the way that I do it, and I like to keep it as simple as possible with a 3-aught or 4-aught hook and sardine hook side to side through the end of his nose and put on a sliding sinker and drop it down to the bottom so that when the halibut bites it, it doesn't feel any weight. It's simply just pulling the line off your reel and he doesn't feel anything. But I believe it has to look as natural as you can. But a lot of guys are using flashers and hoochies and everything. Whatever you drop down to the bottom, you have to feel confident in it. So if you believe now that your buddy told you that you have to use that, then you have to use that.
I just wanted another opinion. I'm going to go out and I showed me his rig, and I thought, well, it's worth a shot to drop it down and
absolutely
see what happens.
Yeah. Corey, you fish a lot of halibut. Any input on that? Plastics? I mean, they bite them, right?
They definitely do.
They bite your bait.
I like reaction bites. And I think, you know, the bigger the bait, the more violent of an inhale of a bite that you're going to get, honestly.
Yeah.
The smaller the bait, the more likely you might be drawing a little pancake or something smaller. And you'd be amazed.
Sucking on your bait.
Open the mouth of a 22-incher, and it's, that. I mean, that's an
8-inch. A million of mackerel.
An 8-inch mackerel, no problem.
Yeah. Like a bucket.
Yes. Absolutely.
Hey, good luck, Sam. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Let's talk to Hills. Hills calling from Ventura. Good morning, Hills. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. Corey asked the question about the weight. Do you do a sacrificial breakaway weight? And that was so interesting, that how leaving that 10-pound ball on gets you that swordfish.
Right.
A friend of mine who was a harpoon, you know, lifelong harpoon guy, he passed away, Alan Welly, great guy. He told me that he had to, he was commercial fishing, he had to use like an ice cream scoop and like scrape out the mud vein in the top of the carcass. Do we need to do that if we get a chance to get a swordfish? That's one question. Then the other one was, how can you tell if it's a male or female lobster unless you see the eggs plastered on?
Well, first lobster question. When you flip that lobster over, on the tail, there's going to be these little tiny fins, or there's going to be great big giant fins. If they're little tiny fins, that's a male. If the fins are real big on the tail, we're talking about the tail, and I don't know what you would call
underneath
them besides
the
fins, but they look like fins.
They're like flappers.
Like flappers, and the females have big ones to hold the eggs in, and
it's
the males have little
tell.
Tiny ones, and that's the way.
And there's almost a feather underneath the flapper, too, on a female.
On the females, right.
And on that feather, each little strand holds all the eggs.
That's what it does.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's
so
how
you can imagine when
right
you flip
away.
It over, those big flappers are what hold the eggs with the little feathers.
Absolutely. Just do yourself a favor. Don't stick your finger in there.
Yeah. And be very careful. Those tails, they don't call them spiny lobsters, right?
Right.
Yes.
They'll cut your finger right off. Then as far as the swordfish cleaning the fish, there's 900 ways to do it. Whatever your buddy taught you the way to do it, that's probably the way you should do it. I'm not an expert on filleting.
And it's just getting that dark
swordfish,
meat out of the meat. That's where all the blood and the bacteria, whether it's a tuna or whether it's a white sea bass or a swordfish.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Indeed. Hey, Tails, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Just about a minute left for Steve. Good morning, Steve and Dana Point. You have a quick question?
Hey. Yeah, good morning, Pete, Dave, and Dude. Dave, when I'm out fishing at your dad's wharf and Brian Woolley and Shane pull up over the bass and they all cloud up, I'm wondering, can you give me a tip of how I can get through that cloud to get to the legals?
Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look for a bigger bait in the bait. I'm going to spend a couple of more seconds at the bait tank. I'm going to look for a bigger bait, and I'm going to cast it out away from the back of the boat. All those short fish are going to be mounted up right underneath the boat. And if you can cast a bigger bait out away from it, that's going to be the way that you're going to get away from it. That's how we've always done it for years. And then if you're really adept at fishing, you're going to grab a handful of those MC swim baits, and you're going to cast those out there far enough away from the big giant schools of the babies. And then you work that, depending on, you're going to find out what speed to crank at. But it's going to be a reaction, like Corey said, a reaction bite. And those bigger swim baits are going to keep those smaller fish off.
There you go. Oh, hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Good
stuff.
You got me all fired up, Dave. And we're going to have three lucky callers all fired up when we come back on Let's Talk Hookup. 1-year subscription, your saltwater guide and a calendar, and the Maui Jim local kind. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup app and network.
When it comes to Southern California sport fishing, two names stand out: Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Check out the all-new Speedmaster. It has the same configuration as the popular Shimano Talica series for half the price. The Speedmaster is great for local bluefin tuna, Guadalupe yellowfin tuna, and much more. The Shimano Speedmaster 2-speed reel is available in a 12 or 16 size and makes the perfect gift for the angler on your list. Visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, or on the web at saltwatertackle.com.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California, no one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And as advertised, two lucky winners to your Saltwater Guide website. Your Saltwater Guide and CCA Bill Varney calendar goes to Eric and Valley Center, number one. And number two, Mike and Rosemead, two stoked guys. The super stoked one here, the local kind Maui Jim sunglasses, go to Jeff in Pacific Beach.
All right, congratulations, guys. Appreciate that, and thanks for all the support and people that called in this morning. And Captain Dave, your saltwater guide, what do we do? How does it work?
Well, check it out. There's a bunch of different ways to find me. Instagram, I'm on there, your saltwater guide. I'm on YouTube with a whole bunch of really fun, entertaining videos. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel, your saltwater guide. And then if you want to not suck at fishing anymore, you can get on my website at yoursaltwaterguide.com and check out all the cool videos and the legends and see what's going on and stay updated on how to catch fish in Southern California.
And a variety, whether you want to catch bluefin tuna or calico bass, you've got
a
kind
video.
Of a little bit of everything
for
everybody.
Yeah, we cover whatever it is
rock
you're fishing
too?
For. Rockfish, I give you
lobster?
Spots. Rockfish.
Rock spots?
Yeah,
yeah,
the
how about
gold.
Lobster?
Lobster, all the spots. You don't have to suck at lobster fishing
really?
Anymore. You don't have to suck at anything unless you want to.
Yeah. And you show them how to kind of set up the hoops and everything like that. If
every
you've never
single
done it.
Thing.
Yeah.
We start at the
all,
very
all
bottom.
Well,
the
thanks,
top.
Dave.
You
your
got
saltwater
it. Thanks
guide.
For letting
com.
Me be here today, guys.
Yeah, you bet. And we'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right. Yes,
for sure.
We will.
And thanks to Brian and Adam for all that they do behind the scenes here at Let's Talk Hookup. And Corey and myself will be back next Saturday. Mr. Dan Ostrowski from Yamaha Outboards will be in the studio with us. Dan's a wealth of knowledge about Yamaha and boating and taking care of your outboard. That's going to be a great show. Then next Sunday, Doug Kern, the guru himself from Fisherman's Landing Tackle and the return of Rockcod Rick from his 7-day Royal Polaris trip. That's going to be next Sunday. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for all your support to Rollo. We'll be back next Saturday and Sunday right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network. All right.